Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter number 5. Probably several of you done or have opened your Bible there already. Ephesians chapter number 5. Begin reading in verse 22. If you would like to stand, if you would like to, that's entirely up to you. Reverence God's Word. They read it. They stood in the Old Testament while it was read half a day. They stood a half a day while it was being read. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. For the husband is the head. Well, we got a good amen out of Brother Silas this morning. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church. Now notice that emphasis on the statement, the church. Already mentioned once in verse 23, again in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word of God many times is lacking to be water, unto water. Verse 27, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church. That's the kind of church God is working on. Now, that is the future destiny and future, the future end, I say, or the completion of the church. It's going to be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you think that God's going to wait till some future time or sometime in eternity future to bring the church to that or start on that? No, I think that verse 26 shows us that he's already started it. He's already started that cleansing, sanctifying process on the church body now. Amen. That's right. I mean, that makes good sense, don't it? I mean, that makes real good sense, I think, because the place we're going to is nothing but pure holiness. Amen. And God is working on bringing us to that point where there's purity and sanctification and holiness in our life. Amen. Tell me your attitude towards sanctification, and you have told me volumes of information about you. Amen. If sanctification and separation and holiness and purity, amen, upsets you when it's preached on, or you rebel against the Spirit of God when he pricks your heart about it, you've got a serious problem. A serious problem. God's people have been made different. God's people have a heart for the Lord. We love what he loves, and we hate what he hates. The Bible said, ye that love the Lord hate evil. That's what the Bible said. Amen. A lot of people will tell you real quickly, I love the Lord. Well, your life will back that up. Amen. Your life will say amen to that or oh me one. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And basically, if you put that in just good, easy to understand statement is, if you love right, you'll live right. That's what that said. Well, that's it, ain't it? Amen. God is looking for a church without spot. That means he's going to have to do some washing to get it without spot and without wrinkle. Come on, ladies. What does it take to get wrinkles out? Huh? Heat. Amen. God may let the heat get turned on us. And hey, hello? The good old USA is quickly getting to the point to where it can enforce some heat on the church. Are you listening? Are you going to be the one that's going to kick out and bail out when the heat gets on? When the pressure gets on? Are you going to prove to everybody that you're not a sunshine Christian? Are you listening? And if I know anything about this Bible, and I don't know a whole lot, but I know this, buddy, there's some pressure coming. There's some pressure coming. And amen. And the best way, like they sang about glorifying him in the fire, you know how you can tell kind of what you're going to do in the fire? It's how you do before the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, they were faithful to God, Brother Brian. They was praying. They was standing for God before the heat ever got on, before the pressure ever got on, before they ever heard anything about, hey, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. They was already submitted to God and living a sacrificial life and loving the Lord. And so when the pressure got on, they just said, you know what? Throw us in. We'd rather burn is to bow. Amen. May God fill RBT full. Full. And we have to build another building. Fill it full of people that'd rather burn than to bow. Fill this place. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, where I'd rather die than to deny the Lord. I'd rather die and you put my corpse in the ground. Amen. As be a compromiser. Amen. God help us. Get fired up already. Without spots, going to take some cleansing. And I don't believe that's talking about stuff the blood didn't take care of. The blood cleanses us positionally, but the Word of God cleanses us practically. Amen. Y'all go ahead and be seated right there. I may preach a little bit through here. Are you listening? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? You say it. I mean, you hear me preach it, and some of you reject that. I want you to say, what does the Bible say? That it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. That's God's sanctifying intentions, is to bring the church, his people, born again people, amen, to that place of purity and holiness. And he, like I said, the blood cleanses. I don't think I've ever said that before just a minute ago. The blood cleanses me positionally before the Lord, but the Word of God cleanses me, as verse 26 shows us, amen, cleanses me practically. That's why we need preaching. That's why we need preaching against sin, is because God uses the Word to bring about a cleansing in your life. I know a lot of things. Oh, yeah. Amen. I mean, Friday night, I would say 31 years Friday night, and I had me a birthday party while I preached Friday night. I'm telling you, I preach like a novice. Because, I mean, I just went back and relived that night. 31 years ago, it's still fresh to me. If I don't watch it, I'll be back on it again, amen. But I tell you, I told him, I said, I'm going to have me a birthday party, praise God, and I did, by the grace of God. But I want to tell you, when I got saved, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't have a tie on, and I didn't carry a Bible, and people didn't call me preacher. Actually, people didn't even call me brother. Amen. Amen. I needed a haircut. I had habits in my life that was unbecoming of a Christian, which I wasn't a Christian. I thought I was. The Lord showed me I wasn't. I got saved that night. Well, guess what? God began to work on me. God began by His Holy Spirit to deal with me. Before I ever heard a message about long hair, shame for a man to have long hair. Before I ever heard anything about that, the Spirit of God done put it in my heart, done working in me that I need to get a haircut. And I had to go a couple of times to get it right. You know, we always, just like good Baptists, we want to budge the boundaries. You know, instead of getting a good clean cut, let everybody know we are male or female, you know, we just try to budge the boundaries. And so I had to go a couple of times, Brother Brian, to get it right, you know, to get it where it needed to be and where it's supposed to be. Amen. And the Lord began to do that. And then, of course, in the process of time, through the pastor and through other preachers coming in and preaching, God began to deal with me. God, the preacher preaches on something, preacher gets this, preacher gets that, you know, and the Spirit of God would deal with me. You need to deal with that. You need to give that up, and you need to quit that. Amen. Amen. I probably gave up more things the first 2 weeks I saved than most people that's been saved 30 years has give up. Amen. I wasn't even saved 24 hours till I'd done destroyed all of my rock music. I did word that right, destroy. I didn't sell it at flea market for other people to have my sin. Amen. I destroyed it. I mean, not to use no more. I didn't have no intentions to going back to Leonard Skinner and all that bunch of junk. Amen. I didn't need nobody saying about a free bird to me, brother. I was free. I was the bird that's free, praise God. Amen. Been set free. To whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. I mean, I got saved, praise God. And my music done got dealt with. My hair got dealt with. And some other habits in my life got dealt with, praise God. I told the flesh no. Amen. I'm talking about, oh Lord help us. I'm talking about something that had an unbelievable grip on my life. I mean, something that had an unbreakable addiction in my life. The next day, I said to the flesh, this flesh, no more. No more, buddy. No more. I put the stop sign up on it. I didn't put the yield sign up. I put the stop sign up. Amen. Letting the flesh know, no need to pursue any further. You're not getting your way in these areas. Well, hallelujah. Some of you get a hold of that. It'll help you. Where you are today is nothing more than the consequences of choices that you've made in the past several days and weeks and months. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. When I got saved, I was telling Brother Aaron last night, I said, when I got saved, I started, I mean that night, making my spiritual life a priority. And I never compromised that. Amen. If there was a challenge to my spiritual life, and when I'm talking about spiritual life, I'm talking about what encompasses it. I'm talking about going to church. I'm talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about living right. I'm talking about giving to God financially what belongs to Him. All of it. I mean all of it. I made it a priority. And when there would be times it'd be challenged, you know, for me to compromise or for me to lighten up or for me to change, you know, I just make my spiritual life a priority. I said, nope, I'm going to stay with God. I'm going with God. Amen. Amen. And I believe that that's the reason, and with the grace of God, amen. I want to be sure to put that in there. I am what I am by the grace of God. But I want you to be very clear, brother, that you just don't happen to wind up on some spiritual level. You get there because you grow into it. You get there because you choose. You make choices to go in that direction. Amen. Well, Lord knows I didn't mean to say any of that, but yeah, that's right. In verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord. Here it is again, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Brother, that shows right there. And then the whole context here is using husband and wife relationship to give a portrait of the relationship that Christ and his church has. Amen. Are you listening? And I'm not talking about just a joint relationship. I'm talking about a romantic relationship. And I want to ask you something. How many of you, don't raise your hand or nod your head, amen, but I wonder how many in this building really is romantically involved with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I wonder how many in this room really is in love with Jesus. Amen. And he says here, verse 31, brother, when that husband and wife gets together, they're joined and they become one. Well, if you take the context now, he's talking about the mystery of Christ and his church. Amen. When you get saved, you become one with him. And if that is the case, and it is, then I tell you, as saved people, you need to quit flirting around and have an extra, listen, talking about the church and Christ, and we're married. He's the groom, I'm the bride. We need to quit flirting around with other extra marital affairs. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. James calls that crowd in James 4. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, he said, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Do you know what he called them? He called them an adulterer. He called them an adulteress. That is someone that's been unfaithful to their mate. That's someone that's had extramarital affairs. That's someone that's been giving their love to others that belongs to one. And he said, you a friend of the world, you're committing spiritual adultery. And then you wonder why I preach against it? I'm going to preach against worldliness. I'm going to preach against it as long as I've got breath. God hates it and it hates God. Yes, and I don't know why God's people don't hate it. I mean, seriously, I'm talking about across the board. I'm not talking about one preacher here and there or a member here and there. I'm talking about across the board. Why is it that not all of God's people hates worldliness and flesh living? Well, we're having a time already. But verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning, look at it, Christ and the church. Let me ask you something on that note. I was going to wait later, but I'm going to mention it now. It's on my mind. What it talks about Christ and his church like a husband and a wife relationship. And I just jotted this down this morning. Husbands, if you love Christ with the same love you have for your wife, what would the status be? Wives, you're told to submit. I know that's not a cuss word either, but it's in the Bible. But what if you submitted to the Lord with the same submission level as you do to your husband? What would the status be? Amen. The marriage is supposed to depict a portrait of Christ and his church, which is very romantic and intimate. Amen. And close and shares a oneness and a commonness. Anyway, notice if you will in verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also, look at this, loved the church and gave himself for it. Now I'm preaching on, I thought would be one message and it's turning out to be more than that. I'm preaching on, I love the church. I think that's a good message to preach in this hour when there's so much negativism going on about the churches and, you know, a lot of things going on in churches that are negative. I want to say there's a whole lot right about the church. And us being an independent Baptist church, meaning that no other churches have say-so in our church, no organizations have no say-so in our church. We are a self-governing body. And that's biblical. That is scriptural. Amen. All of the New Testament churches were independent churches that were baptistic in doctrine. So you can figure what that made them. But as an independent Baptist church, I don't know what they're doing across town up the road. And I have no say-so in that. But we here as this local body, we can make sure that there's a lot right with this church. We can make sure that we stay with the right message and the amen and the right music and keep going right. Amen. Yes, we can do that. And listen, there are people everywhere looking for that kind of church. They're sick of this liberal mess that's going on in most churches. Amen. I told them up there the other night, I said, if you can make a difference in your church, turn it around, make a difference, then you ought to do it. Amen. Our Friday night jubilee, that's been our main burden, is that it be that which would stir other churches. People could come here, get on fire for God, and take it back to their church, and they'd explode for the glory of God. And that happened, in fact, that happened this past jubilee. That happened when the glory of God come in here in power. It happened on Friday. Amen. There was people here from Harbor Light Baptist Church in Johnson City that had never been here before. And Brother Aaron Henson is their new pastor as of that Wednesday prior to that jubilee. Well, you know what happened if you were here on jubilee? God come, walked in here, had mighty power. Well, it so exposed them to the glory of God. And many of them went to the altar. Many of them testified at the end of the service. And I talked to Brother Aaron, and he said, it blowed out Sunday, preacher. He said the one that opens Sunday school normally does so with a little courtly, or teaches Sunday school does it with a little courtly. I don't know if it's just a joint class or what. But he come to Brother Aaron after being in the service. He was one of them that was the first one in the altar and testified. And he said, Pastor, would it be all right if I just shared my heart this morning? And Brother Aaron said, of course, told him, said, pin your ears back and lay with it, you know. And he got up and he began to weep and cry about what God had done in him in our jubilee service. Amen. Back to my point. If you can turn a church, turn it. But if it cannot be turned, get out.
Amen.
Don't die with it.
Amen.
Amen. That's good advice. You wouldn't stay on a boat that's sinking, would you? I'd bail out, buddy.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm talking about if you can't turn it. Amen. I met some this past week. They come to this church where I preached at. They come there every time they have a special service. In fact, they have a Thursday night service instead of Wednesday night. So this individual and his family comes up there on Thursday night and all revival meetings, but he goes back to a dead church on Sunday. He said, he told me out of his own mouth, he said, I got to come up here to get charged up. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if you have to go anywhere else to get charged up than the church you're going to, something's wrong with either you or the church or both.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's right. When I got saved in 1981, we tried to turn that church. God moved in a 7-week revival. Several people got saved. I was the first one to get saved, first one to surrender to preach. And God moved in power. As people serving God the day that got saved 31 years ago and got right with God in that revival. We couldn't turn it. The more we tried to turn it and get it going in the right direction, the more they fought. And I mean, it literally was a fight. Lawsuits and everything. And finally, we bailed out and started Victory Baptist Church. Amen. My home church. And hey, if you can't turn it, bail out. Don't die with it. I don't know how I got on all that.
Amen.
But I love the church. I do know now. Amen. We intend on making sure there's a lot right with the church here.
Right.
Amen. Now, if you're coming looking for a perfect church, let me just go ahead and help you something. The preacher's not. And I've been preaching now for about 20 minutes, and I don't see any halos in the house, so... this church here has got imperfect people in it and is pastored with an imperfect pastor. Amen.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure there's enough, plenty right with the church. We want to make sure that if there's something wrong, that we deal with it.
Amen.
Well, anyway, I'm preaching, trying to, on I love the church, and I do. I'm glad the church is distinct in the Bible from that of the world. God calls us out of the world. And I hit these, and I'm not going to re-preach them, but I'm just going to get them. And I want to get this first one and finish it, or at least deal with it. I dealt with last week, if you love something, if we love the church, if we love something, we will seek its honor.
Yeah, right.
If we love something, we're jealous over it. It'll get us upset when we see something that we love being abused or being attacked. And if we love the church, we will be jealous for it. Over it. Jesus said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And he made a whip and run out the people that was disgracing the house of God. Amen. He said, if you love something, you'll give to it. If you love something, hey, you know that's right, don't you? I mean, people don't have enough money to buy a can of peanut butter. If they really wanted to go to the Vols game, I don't know how much a ticket is. How much is a ticket for a Vols game? $25, $30? Brother Randy, I know you know. Huh? It varies depending on where you're going to see it. What would you say? Average. Yeah, and who to play? What do you say? Average. $35, $40. Ain't got enough money to pay attention. But if they really wanted to go, they'd come up, they'd pawn something. They'd sell one of their children's right ears. Something, they'll go. You'll give to what you love. I've seen that in my own life. Hey man, if you don't have money, you love something, you'll rake and scrape, rob and steal to get it. How many people say they love the church and they still hadn't got leadership on tithing? That's something you don't even have to pray about. If it's clear in the Bible, you don't have to pray about it. Amen. All right, well, I figured that'd get some of you, but listen. If you love something, you'll protect it. If you love something, you'll be loyal and faithful to it. If you love something, you will live for it and be identified with it. Amen. And so we preached on those things last week. The first thing that I want to lock in on this morning for the rest of the service is the first thing that I love about the church, and I mean, there's a lot of things we could say that we love about the church, but the first one is I love the meaning of the church. I love the meaning of the church. What does it mean? What does it mean? The word church, the word is ecclesia. When you talk about the theological word for church doctrine or the doctrine of the church, you're talking about ecclesiology or eschatology. No, what is it? Ecclesiology. I had it right. It didn't sound right. And it's talking about the doctrine of the church, that ecclesiastical body. But the meaning is, in fact, that word is used 115 times in the New Testament. And listen to this. It both describes the whole church and also the local church. I'm up here preaching. Everybody listening? It describes both the church universal as well as the local church. It describes the church that's in heaven, the part of the church that is in heaven, and also the local church that is still yet upon the earth. Listen to this, because I've heard several over the years say, preacher, I'm not in a church, but I am a part of the church. Is that right? Is that a fact? Had a fellow tell me one time, he'd been missing church a lot, been laying out of church a lot, whatever, and I said, been missing it. And he said, I haven't forsook the church. You know, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, I've not forsook the church. He hadn't been, and Lord knows when. He said, I hadn't forsook the church. And I said, Lord, help me to know what to say, you know. And I was praying just kind of under my breath there, and Lord showed me. It didn't say not forsake. It said not forsaking. Right. Amen. If you miss one service and you could be here, you're already doing it. The process is already there. Amen. Amen. Don't dry up on me now. But the meaning of the church, is that ecclesia. And you can't separate, by the way, you can't separate the general church or the whole church from the local church. You can't separate it. Amen. Now listen, come here. That's not saying that if you go to a church, you are in the church. That's not saying that. That's no more saying that than going into a garage will make you a car. That's no more saying that if you go to church, you are a Christian than going into an airport will make you an airplane. Amen. And I believe that the Bible strongly emphasizes that if you're in the church, you'll want to be in a church. That's exactly right. And not just any church, but that ecclesia crowd. What does it mean? What does ecclesia mean? It comes from two words. And I'm not going to go into all the details of that. I can't hardly pronounce some of it anyway. The Greek word, ek, and all that. But it put them together. It comes from two words. One word means to call. And another word means out or from. Excuse me, or from. So you put the two words together, which forms this word that translates church. And it comes out to what is the church? It's that called out assembly. It's that called out congregation. It's that called out company. The church is known in meaning of being that called out crowd. That's why I like the meaning. I love the meaning of the church. It's that called out crowd. Now, of course, if you're not out, you probably won't love that meaning. Here, listen to this. Well, this is good. Are you listening? Now, this is in the Strong's Concordance, where you our dictionary. When you put the two names together, to call out, it's got in parentheses. Boy, I never seen it before, Brother Brian, but oh, it's so good. It says to call out, and then in parentheses, by name, to name. I said, whoa, I'm going to have to look at that again. A crowd that have been individually called out by name, to name. In other words, I've called you by name, but I'm going to change your name. I'm going to put another identity on you, and it's called the church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Listen to this. It means to be called out of place, time, and cause. I mean, you think about it. When God called, if we're saved and we're in the church, we're at called out. Called out of what? Called out, and that's in the definition too. Called out of place. Yeah, when I got saved, I left a vacancy at the partying house. Yeah, when I got saved, I left a vacancy at the dance hall. Yeah, when I got saved, my friend, all those places I used to have, fill my place, amen, and occupy my place, when I got saved, I got called out of place.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Out of place, time, and cause. Have you been called out of place, time, and cause? If you're still in your place right now in time and you're still serving that cause, then according to the Bible, you're not in the church. And by the way, I just thought I'd let you know how important it is to be in the church, and the only way to get into the church is to be born into it. You must be born again. Amen. That's the only way. Good work, sincerity, morality, those things are commendable but never acceptable as a payment for sin. Amen. So if you're going to get in the church, you've got to be born into it. Amen. That's the only way you can get in. It's the only way you got in this world, wasn't it? Is there any exceptions in here? Anybody get into this life, into this earthly world? Did anybody get in this world any other way than by a birth? If you are, first of all, I want your autograph after the service. And secondly, I'm pretty sure the Smithsonian Institute would probably want you to be a part of their display. Right along with dinosaurs and all that stuff. Amen. I'm talking about if you got in this world any other way than by a birth. It's the only way to get into this world and have this life. And so it is spiritually. There isn't but one way to get into God's world. Amen. And into His life. And that is you've got to be born again. Why did it say born again? Because the first birth can't do it. The first birth can't do it. Nothing the physical life can do that can get you in. It's a spiritual birth produced by the Spirit of God. To be called out of place, time, and cause. To be called from. To be called away from. Oh, You see now why I like the meaning of the church. I love the meaning of the church. To be called out from, to be called away from. Is there a difference between what you used to be and what you are tonight or this morning? Is there a difference? And I'm going to say to you, just what the Spirit of God would say to anybody. If there's no difference between a past you and a present you concerning sin and spirituality, something's wrong with that. Amen? God calls people that makes up His church, and you can be a member of a church and not be a member of the church. Amen? You can become a member of this church through water baptism. But it takes a spirit baptism to put you into the church. We're baptized by one Spirit into His body. The only way to get in there, Spirit of God baptizes, immerses, submerges you into the body of Christ. He don't leave a leg hanging out. He don't leave an arm hanging out. He leaves nothing of you when you're submerged, immersed. My friend, all of you's in Christ. Well, to be called out, I'm glad to be a part of that. Now, some of you may be looking at me a little strange right here on this, but that's okay. I am a living testimony of what I'm preaching. Amen. You've heard my testimony. I'm not going to give it all. But there was a time in my life that I ran away from home over the issue of going to church. Because my daddy, I mean, it was a just set thing. We didn't discuss it. You had nothing to pray about. Hey, come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival nights, any other service, it's understood, you know, we're going to church. I never had to ask daddy or mom, hey, we going to church today? Or on Saturday, hey, tomorrow, are we going to church in the morning? No, the doors was open, we was there. Of course, you know, I was 20 years old and thought I was the baddest thing ever was, amen. And you know what? I just thought, well, I'll show you. Daddy said, you either go to church or not be here when I get back or suffer the consequences. And I'd been introduced to the consequences several times. Amen. And I knew Daddy wasn't kidding. I knew Daddy wasn't joshing. I knew he wasn't joking. I knew he meant business, buddy. That if I didn't go to church and I was still at the house, me and him was going to go round and round, and I was pretty sure I'd lose. Because I'd lost all the other times. Yeah, me and my brother thought we was going to get Daddy one day. We had it planned out at the table, dinner table. Me and my brother's two and Daddy's one. We can take him. It come right down to it, buddy. And we had the key and the cues. We knew when it was time for us to do our thing, you know. And about that time, my brother stood up and started. I stayed seated. Because when I saw Daddy stand up, I said, I believe I'm going to just sit here and pray. Amen. I don't think fighting Daddy's a good idea. Amen. But anyway, I made a decision in my mind. You know, I'm going to rebel. You're not going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to do my own thing. That's of the devil. Rebellion in a child's heart, regardless of their age, is always of the devil. And you can count on that. Rebellion is not a characteristic of a Christian. Say amen right there. So if you're a rebellious child against authority, whether it be at the schoolhouse or at your house or at the church house, if you've got rebellion against authority, you've got a problem. Amen. Anyway, I decided I'd leave home. And I did. I went away, ran away. Didn't tell them where I was going or nothing. About 2 weeks later, I got a call. To make a long story short, I got a call. Mama called where I worked. I was a welder at Byers Sheet Metal in Hendersonville. Wasn't supposed to get calls. And she called, and they come and got me and said, you got a call. I thought, well, you're not supposed to get calls. I don't know what this is. It must be an emergency. And I went and got on the phone and said, hello. And all I heard was sobbing and weeping on the other side, on the other end. I didn't have to say, who is this? Nobody can shed a tear like a mama, buddy. Hey, man.
And boy, she was a weeping and a crying on the other end. And finally, she got her composure where she could talk a little bit. And she said, "Son, hallelujah." I like telling it because she was instrumental in me getting saved. If she, Brother Craddock, sure as I'm standing here, had not she come and got my clothes and had not she got out of her comfort zone and took my fight and my battle up into her own hands and went and found where I stayed and got all my clothes, had she not done that, I'd have probably kept going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin and probably would have never... Brother Brian probably would have never got saved. Thank God for the prayers and the tears and the care of a mama that my friend will go even when... Listen, and I'm telling you, I hurt mama. I've hurt her so bad. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I hurt her so bad. Amen. And treat her bad. But you know what, buddy? When I got right with God, son, I'm going to tell you, you talking about a renewed relationship with my mama and my daddy both, really. She went and got my stuff and she said, I didn't bring you into this world through my womb for you to die and go to hell. She said, I've done found where your stuff was at and I done went and got it all and brought it to the house. And when you get off work, son, come on home. I tried to act all bent out of shape over that and mad. What'd you do that for? But oh, man. I was glad to hear that. Praise, because I'm telling you, no place like home, bro. No place like home. And it wasn't but just a few days that I got gloriously saved. By the grace of God, never was a problem to mom no more. Amen. Fact was turned out, I guess, to be a blessing to mom and daddy. But anyway, I'm talking about, brother, that called out crowd. God, and I just summarized that definition. God calls out of and away from place, time, and cause individuals by name to form an assembly to name, called the church, that will bear his name among men. You know, the Bible calls that, says that, if my people which are called by my name. He calls you to name, by name, to name. Now, a name is what you're known by. A name is your identity. Now, formerly I was known and named as a sinner. But after you get called out, by name, to name, that changes. Amen? Listen to this verse of scripture right here in Ephesians 2, back a couple of pages. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. That at that time ye were, referring to a past condition and state and status. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look at verse number 17. And came and preached peace to you, which were, past tense, afar off. And to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Notice verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners and fellow citizens, but with the saints, or fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In other words, I like that were and are business. I like that were and now business. Amen? That shows a distinction. That shows a distinction between what you was and what you are. Listen to this verse of scripture, and everybody knows this one. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Listen to it. I'll read it to you. Verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's the group I was in and the group you were in if you were, before you got saved. If you're not saved, you're still in this group. You're still in this group that says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not be going to heaven unless you get saved. Listen, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That those two verses shows plainly that there's not everybody's going to heaven. In fact, that group of, that's listed there describes the majority of population on planet Earth. But notice verse 11. And such were some of you. Now listen, keep in mind, it means to be called out by name, to name. Amen. To be called out from, to be called away from, to be called out of time, place, and cause. To be called out of that, meaning you're not there no more. If you're out of it, you're not in it. That's good. Here it said, and such were some of you, but you are washed. Thank God. Amen. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Boy, I just saw something. That word washed, sanctified, and justified all ends with ED. It's not an ongoing process. Amen. God is not trying to save me. I can say scripturally that I am saved. E.D. It's a done deal. Amen. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. I love the meaning of the church. I love it because it means to be called out. To be called out. Oh, thank God. Church, the congregation of the body of believers are those that have been made up by individually being called out of time, place, and cause, away from being a sinner condemned before God. And you can believe this, friend. God will not call you out of something unless He's got in mind of putting you into something. And what He, listen, this is true. You can go back in Deuteronomy where God's word plainly says in Deuteronomy 6:23, I brought you out that I might bring you in. It's true. That's true, Brother Craig, with God and His people. When He brings you out of something, it's always going to be lesser than what He's bringing you, putting you in. Amen. Amen. Don't you think for a second that my best life was when I was lost. Oh no. And I never want my testimonies to glorify sin or to make people think that, buddy, I really had the life. Amen. No, friend, I wished I'd have gotten saved at 7 or 8 or 9 years old. I could have. I had opportunity. The Spirit of God dealt with me. But I want to tell you, I didn't do it. I was a fool. Amen. But I can testify now after 31 years and 2 days. I can testify that what He brought me into is incomparably greater than what He brought me out of. And if that's the case, and it is, why is it that a lot of people that go to church act happier before they got saved or before they said they got saved? Get saved and all of a sudden a big frown's on your face and you're sad and miserable. Act like salvation was a disease. Something's wrong with that. That's not in line of the meaning of the church. To be called out of the lesser to go into the greater. Yes, being saved is far greater than being lost. Oh yes. I like it myself. I brought you out that I might bring you in. If He can get you out, He can get you in. Amen. That's right. John 15 and verse 19, you know how He described the disciples? I have chosen you out of the world. I know that probably sounds like Greek to a lot of people in church, but I just read it plainly in English, what Jesus does for those He saves. He said, I have chosen you out of. Notice those two words, out of
the world, meaning you're not in it. We're in the world far as our address and our physical location and our life, but we are not of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. He said, I have called you out, what? Of. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. We that are saved. You say, preacher, what? How is that? I want to tell you, friend, I don't believe a saved person is fighting God on that move. I don't believe, Brother Tim, a saved person is fighting and resisting and a tug of war match with God, Him trying to call you out and away from that lifestyle and that sinful life to put you into the church where He begins to sanctify and cleanse and justify and purify you. I don't believe you're going to be fighting against God. Amen. When I got saved, friend, it was a desire in me. God put a desire in me, Brother Rob, to go to the house of God, and not just to go, but to get in. I mean, God did that. That's when He saves you. You said, preacher, I don't know if I can live that life. No, you can't. Not in yourself, you can't. It's not of the human nature. Amen. You can't do it. But when you get saved, God puts His nature in you. God puts His spirit in you. God puts His life in you. And therefore, you love what He loves. So going to church will be something you love. Reading the Word of God will be something you love. Pursuing the paths of righteousness will be that which you love. Amen. I didn't come to church this morning. Somebody, you know, got me in an arm lock, you know. No, I'd have kicked out a long time ago if that would have been the case. Amen. But I've been for 31 years and 2 days. I did tell you that. Been wanting to go to church because I got called out that night off of that pew. I got called out from place, time, and cause. Called away from that. Called from that into a new life, amen, that I received in Christ. And it's the greatest life. The greatest life there is to live. There's nothing that compares with it. There's nothing that compares with it. John 17 and verse 16, the God's people are described as out of the world again. Out of. If you still got that a part of spirit, you still got that I love it spirit of the world, then you're not saved. You said, but preacher, I made a profession. Profession doesn't mean nothing. I'm talking about in and of itself. By itself, it means nothing. I made more than one profession, meaning that I stood up and I professed that I had gotten saved. But Brother Brian, there was no life. Brother Tim, there was no life. I mean, listen, and I'm ashamed, Miss Sherry. I am ashamed. But I lived like a heathen, buddy, in my teenage years. And I believe that it would be a slap in the face of the gospel for me to say that I was saved. Of course, I'd have told you I was saved because I thought that little flimsy dime store profession I made back yonder that was the deal. But it didn't change my life. It wasn't that I was slipping into sin. I was seeking it. It wasn't that I just slipped up, Brother Mike, every once in a while and I was in it, you know, or did something or whatever. No, I made plans. Before the weekend ever got here, I done knew who I was going to be with, the crowd I was going to be with, where we were going, who's going to buy what, who's doing this, and it was all in plan. Why? I was planning to get in it. I loved it. I lived for it. Sinners do. Sinners love sin just like a pig loves slop, amen. I guarantee it. You're just as comfortable in a life of sin as a fish is in water. Yeah. Amen. And that fish illustration sure gives us a true identity of what your nature is as a human being. When you catch that fish and you're trying to pull him out of that environment, he'll kick and jump and try every way in the world. to get off. God gets to dealing with you by name, to speaking to you and calling you, and you know he's calling you out. Amen. You'll be about like that fish. Your old human, depraved, fallen, sin-loving nature will fight against God, rebel against God, resist God. Amen. Yes, it will. Because your flesh never has and never will want to be saved. And the flesh never will be saved. It's headed back to the dust from which it came. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, yes. Been called out by name, to name. What's your identity? Have you heard of this? Have you heard of Genesis 12 in verse 1? You ever heard of that? You ever heard of Abraham? Listen to what the Bible said about Abraham in chapter 12 and verse number 1. God said to Abraham when he called him, get thee out. But Lord, this is all of my familiar, and this is all that I'm used to, and this is all that I know. This is my life. God says, get thee out. And then you read a few verses later, and you find out in verse 4, the Bible said, and Abraham departed. You say, when did he get saved? Right then. He got saved when he believed God. The Bible said he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. When God called him and said, get thee out, and he responded, not knowing where he was going, acting in faith on the word of God, guess what? It was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's the way I got saved. God called me out. God, listen, let me help you something. God will not save you nor anyone and in your sin and leave you in your sin. That completely destroys the meaning of church. That called out assembly, that called out from time, place, and cause congregation. God don't save anybody and leave them in their sin. If they continue to live in sin, or if they cannot live without it, now I'm not talking about living above it, I'm talking about living without it. Are you listening? There's a difference. None of us can live above it. Hey man, the flesh has not been eradicated. Try it. I think we can all do a little better than we do, I know. Somebody said, why do we sin more or less every day, preacher? I said, well, we sin more or less, why don't we sin less? No, they prefer the more part of that. I sin more or less every day, meaning they're probably sinning more every day. I love the meaning of the church. I love the meaning of the church. Amen. I want everybody to know. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm in the church. I'm a part of and in a church. And I am not living the life I once lived because I've been called out of that. Praise God, I've been called out of that. And when you think about that, that calling out became my identity. Called out by name, to name. Now I'm identified. What's your name, preacher? Called out. I'm brother called out. Amen. I'm called out. Yeah, and you know what? I'd have never come out had I not been called out. Amen. But I'd have stayed in sin till I went to hell. Sure as your name's what it is, you would have as well. If it hadn't have been for God getting in your life, getting in your way, speaking to you and dealing with you and calling you and you responded. Is that right? Thank God. What about God doing that for you? What about God doing that for me? When I was against him, when I wasn't for him, didn't have him on my mind, wasn't interested. All of a sudden there he began dealing with my heart. He began speaking to me on that second night of a 7-week revival. And guess what? He was calling me out. Amen. He was calling me out of that. And I responded. And I got saved. And it changed my life. And I've seen that happen several times since then to other people. Amen. It became my testimony. I want to be known. Listen, I want to be known as the church. Amen. Beforehand, see, remember last week we talked about there's only two groups in the world, Church and world. Church and world. The world used to be made up of two identities, Jew and Gentile. But when you got saved, there's a third one comes in the picture, found in the Word of God, the Church of God. God pulls and calls out of, from the Jewish and the Gentile races, God calls out individuals by name to name them the church. Hallelujah. We're going to leave church on our church sign.
Amen.
What's wrong with it? It's a Bible word. Jesus died for the church. That's what the Bible said. If he died for the church, we ought to live for it. We're going to leave church on our own side. And just for added note, we're going to leave Baptists on there as well.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of churches are taking church off their sign, putting up fellowship, center, you know. What's wrong with church? Is it offensive? I've had them to tell me that's the reason they took church and Baptist both off their sign, because it was offensive. I don't know if it's an offensive issue as it is they're ashamed of it. And I want it to be on record, I am not ashamed of my heritage. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about from a traditional standpoint either. You know, just a Baptist because your grandma's a Baptist and other people's Baptist. No, I'm a Baptist because you can trace the Baptist church back to Jesus. There's over 1,000 Baptist churches up and down the East Coast, Brother Mike, that can documentedly trace their heritage all the way back to Jesus. Hello? That's right. Thank God. I'm not ashamed of it. Not at all. Not in the least. Not now, and not tomorrow, and not ever. Amen. By the grace of God. You know, when God calls a person out, he's calling you to exit. He's calling you to depart. He's calling you to separation. Calling you to a different life. A different life. Amen. Listen. And that it shows me this. I wrote this down. I like this. When God called you out, it showed us the intentions of God. When God begins to speak to you and deal with you, he shows you the intentions of God. It shows you the initiative of God. God is making the move toward you and calling you. It shows you the interests of God. God is interested in you. He's got you on his mind. And then it shows the invitation of God. Amen? I love the meaning of the church. And there's a lot more we could say about it, but I think you got the gist of it. But I'm glad he called me out practically. He called me out visibly. He called me out literally. He called me out really. He called me out physically. He called me out spiritually. He called me out personally. He called me out permanently.
Yeah, right.
He intends for me, Brother Clapper, never go back. And I have no intentions on going back. I hate it. Here's a good way you know that you never go back. Hate that life.
Yeah.
Hate it. Brother Craddock, I hate what I was. Yeah. Amen. In fact, it's been so long now being saved, when I talk about what I used to be, literally, listen, feels like I'm talking about somebody else. It's like I'm talking about another person. And I am, really, from the Bible. That old man died.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I love the meaning of the church. Let's all stand our feet.